And what is the third sentence? The third sentence is Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam. Efficiency, proficiency of action is yoga. You apply these three propositions and your whole spirit of action will change. Karmani eva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. This is the first sentence. You have right to action but not to the fruits of action. If with this consciousness you perform an action, your spirit will be changed. Samatvam yoga uchyate, develop equality of mind while doing action, your spirit will be changed. And do every action with thoroughness, perfection. That also will change your state of consciousness. These three propositions, when you combine together, the spirit of action will be changed. And when the spirit is changed, you'll be uplifted. The whole aim is to uplift you from where you are. Where you are, Sri Krishna says, where you are, you cannot find a solution to your problem. You have to uplift yourself. Upliftment can be done by buddhi. That is one way. The other way is join buddhi with karma. But karma, not merely by karma, doing karma, but apply these three propositions. When these three propositions are applied, then the spirit of your action will change and you will be uplifted. Now, this is the teaching of the second chapter. In the third chapter, we have a further expansion. You go farther. What is the farther point? The farther point is that you realize that you have no right even to action also. In the second chapter you were told that you have right to action but not to the fruits. But that is only the first teaching. In the third chapter you are told that aham karomi, that I am doing, is also a falsity. You have no right even to action. Not only do you give up the results of action, but now Sri Krishna says, give up action also. And how do you give up action? You have no right to action. Therefore, how do? It? You refer action to whom? From where the action proceeds. Action doesn't belong to you, then it belongs to whom? It belongs to the Supreme Lord. So Sri Krishna says, whatever action you do yajna as a sacrifice. This is the secret. This is the second step of Karma Yoga. First is the giving of the fruits of action. The next is now giving up action itself. In what way? As a sacrifice to the Lord. Now here comes also greater knowledge. Knowledge of the Lord. Which was up till now not referred to. In the second chapter, the Lord is not yet referred to except only once. In the third chapter now, the introduction of the idea of the Lord comes in. As you become riper, even the knowledge also becomes riper. In Buddhi Yoga, you had only seen that which is eternal and that which is not eternal. But now, you see much more. You see the eternal from whom action proceeds. It's a greater perception, greater knowledge. So just as you rise in your spirit of action, you also rise higher in knowledge. And the two are again synthesized, knowledge and action. What is yajna is then explained by Sri Krishna in the third chapter and explains the whole world is yajna, the whole world is created by yajna. When you complete your movement of yajna, which is again explained in the fourth chapter, that yajnas are of many kinds, but the highest yajna is the yajna of knowledge. When you know the Supreme, when you come to know the reality itself, and then you offer everything to the Lord, that is the climax of Karma Yoga. Then what happens? divyam janma, divyam karma, then arises the divine birth. You are really seated, you are really uplifted into the higher status, and then you are able to act. From the higher level, the action proceeds. Now action no more proceeds from you. All action that you had is already Krishna Arpanam, is already given an offer to the Supreme Lord. Now whatever action proceeds only from Him. The climax of Karma Yoga is to make God do instead of your doing anything. Once you know that it is the Divine who is acting, then all your arguments, Shri Krishna says to Arjuna in effect, your arguments, if I do this, this will be the result, if I do this, this will be the result. You are no more doing anything. Allow the Supreme Lord to act, and He will work out whatever is His will. To discover the Divine's will, to be the instrument of the Divine's will, and to allow the Supreme to work through us, we remaining like a flute, or we remaining like a bow of the arrow, we remaining only as an instrument, then the divine action will proceed from you. No more your ordinary action. Your ordinary action is made of prakriti, sattva, rajas and tamas. But when you are given to the Lord, then divya karma will start, which will not be sattva, rajas and tamas. It will be Satchidananda's action. In every action there will be purity, and that which is truthfulness, and that which is fully conscious and full of delight. So in the fourth chapter, the Karma Yoga is described fully. But Karma Yoga, which is synthesized with the knowledge, fifth and sixth chapters are only elucidation of lingering doubts which remain, that what is the place of sannyasa in all this process, because this is the question which was very prominent at that time, in the time of Arjuna's questioning. Sannyasa had begun to become more and more fashionable, and people were being drawn away from action into sannyasa, into renunciation. Therefore, this question is very prominent throughout the whole book. What is sannyasa? So Shri Krishna says the real sannyasa is not coming out of action. Real sannyasa is the giving up of desire. Once you give up, it is real sannyasa. Whether you do this or do that, do all actions without desire, that is the real sannyasa. And that is why Shri Krishna says that whether the distinction between Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga itself ceases. What is Sankhya is karma, is yoga, and what is yoga is Sankhya. The only starting point is different. In the process of knowledge, you take resort to buddhi. In karma yoga, you take resort to karma. But having taken resort to karma, in karma yoga, you apply buddhi. And it is only when you reach the climax of jnana that you really reach the climax of action. In Jnana Yoga also, when you reach the knowledge of the One, then you find that that One is Himself Purushottama. And this is explained in the sixth chapter and says, to see oneself in all and all in oneself, and to see oneself in Him, or in the reality, in Mayi, in me, and me in everybody, ultimately arriving at a state of complete devotion. That is a supreme condition in which jnana, karma and bhakti are all reconciled. This is the condition of karma yoga. This is the elucidation in chapter number 5 and 6.